Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 133. I know you're looking at it, you're saying, well, it's going to be a short one. I don't know. It always seems like a lot when I'm studying for it, so. Psalms 133. And it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. And I guess if I could title this, it would be from Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. And I think I'm looking at a bunch of saints that are letting brotherly love continue. So, there are 15 psalms right here, psalms number 120 through 134, and they're all titled A Song of Degrees or Ascents. That word could be ascents, like to ascend. And they are believed to have been sung as Israel came up to the feasts. And now I didn't study them all out before this, but I read through a bunch of them. Even as you read them, you can see the ascents from each psalm to the next. And I hope that I can bless you with a little bit here. It says, behold how good and how pleasant. And I looked that word up in the Strong's, and it's either got a question mark after it or an exclamation point. But I was thinking of it, and it just struck me that the psalmist wasn't questioning anything except for maybe that he didn't have the words to say how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. And kind of like me, I have trouble finding words a lot of times. But I believe that the exclamation is due here with these two words. And as I went on, you know me, I like to look up the words in Strong's. But that word good is number 2896. And counting the good and the goodlies and the goodliest and all the other words and adverbs and verbs, there are right around 40 words to describe it. I just wrote down a few. Well, a few more than a few, but it starts out good, a good thing, beautiful, best, bountiful, cheerful, at ease, joyful, kindly, loving, merry, as in happy Mary, precious, well-favored. And the word pleasant in Strong's is 5273, and it means delightful or sweet. And I'm seeing a lot of bridal qualities in these two words. And I think brethren that dwell together in unity, I don't think that, I know that. They're going to be in the bride. And there are benefits to dwelling together. Now I went on to the next two words. To dwell is to dwell, to remain, to settle, to marry, M-A-R-R-Y, to abide and to continue. And that word unity, oh wait, okay, that's that word. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I thought, you know, how often Pastor brings out about dwelling and to marry. So we're going somewhere here. And then those two words, together and unity, are both the same word in the Greek, and that's 3162. And that means a unit or alike, or from the root word 3161, to become one. I think we're seeing a pattern here. And I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel 18:1. And it says, and it came to pass, and this is the love covenant of Jonathan David. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And in Colossians 2:2, I'm sure you guys all know this one. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. And it's just amazing how this is working out. The Lord's knits us together. As we become one, I want to read one more in Ephesians 4. Actually, three verses, 1-3. After all, this is a Bible study. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I know a little bit about the military, and I know that they bring people in, and what they do is they kind of break them down, and they put them in the same barracks, and they live all the same, break them down, and then they build them up into what they want to be. And I don't want to talk so much about that, but they turn them into a unit. And these men can go out and fight together, and it's said of the American troops, like over in Afghanistan, they'll be training these Afghanistan soldiers, and when the battle gets hot, the Afghanistan soldiers get up and run, but the American soldiers stay and fight, even outnumbered, but that's what they're trained for. They're trained as a unit to fight together. And I was thinking back, I worked with this guy for probably 25 years. And we'd work together. We'd get there to work in the morning, and we'd start building these door frames and window frames. And we didn't even have to talk to each other. We just knew each other so well and how to do that job so well that we'd just work right behind each other and get a ton of work out. It was just amazing. And we could go in at 4 in the morning, work till 8 at night, and not say a word to each other. It wasn't that we didn't like each other. We just knew what we were doing and what had to be done. And we would finally say something about the third day when we'd get there and say, why did we say we'd do this? But then we'd do it. But we were one. You know, it was we just knew each other. We knew what had to be done. And that's what the Lord's talking about here. And you know, it's with lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that leads us into the second verse, It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. And I wanted to read a little about this precious ointment. And that's in Exodus 30, verses 23 and 24. And it says, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil of olive and hin, or 5 to 6 quarts. And I get some of those oils from Lynn because I like the way they smell, and they give me a little relief from some of my maladies, sore muscles and stuff. But I, some of these, like the myrrh and the cinnamon, I haven't smelled calamus yet or cassia, but they're fragrant. And so this was a fragrant oil. And I think it was about 250 ounces of spices mixed in with about 5 quarts of oil. So it was a good amount. And I thought of that. They poured it on the head of Aaron, and only the high priest, only on him did they pour the oil. The rest of the priests, they sprinkled it. And I was thinking, too, of, well, I want to go to Psalms 45:7. I hope you're keeping up with me. I'll find it here. And this is speaking of Jesus, and it says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And the oil does speak of the Holy Spirit. And we need that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't begin his ministry until he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And I think of the great high priest and how God anointed him with that oil of gladness. And the Holy Spirit's the one that, you know, gives us our strength and produces that fruit of the Spirit in us. And in Romans 5:5, I'll just read this. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And we are talking about the love of the brethren, dwelling together in unity. They got to love each other. I know I grew up in a family. There was 12 of us, Joneses, 5 boys, 5 girls. 3 bedrooms, 1 bathroom. We dwelt together, not always in unity. At the supper table, we were dwelling in unity. And, you know, we were poor, but we didn't know it because everybody else we knew was poor. So we were happy most of the time. But the Holy Spirit is the one. He sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. And when I came into this meeting, I was just a smelly, skinny hippie with long hair, hooked on drugs. But I knew there was love here. And everybody I talked to, you know, loved me and, oh, come back, you know, and it was real. And now look what happened. I'm like that piece of gum stuck to the bottom of your shoe. Just can't get rid of me. And then there's a fragrance to that. You know, I love being around the saints, and like Sunday, the potluck dinners and things like that. You know, it's just so sweet. I was talking to Sister Anita, and I couldn't hear a word she was saying because Irma and Gwen were laughing so loud, but it didn't bother me because they were just so joy, having so much joy, and you know, everybody was laughing, and it just smelled good, you know. I'd rather be loved than, you know, have somebody come up and punch me or something. Even the little kids, you know, how little kids sometimes will come up and they, you know, they like you, so they come up and push you or hit you or something, you know. I always tell them, you know, I'd rather have hugs than slugs, I was thinking of that oil that flowed down. I poured it on the head, and it just flowed down to his beard and down to the skirts of his garments. And, you know, just a full anointing of the Holy Spirit. But the love and grace flowed down to the lowest of us. You know, I was nothing when I came in here. I wouldn't have thought anything of it if they'd have told me not to come back. I thought, well, you know, look at me, you know. But you know, even though that love flows down to the lowest, doesn't mean we need to look at people like that. And I want to turn to Philippians 2. Love this. Pastor's been in this book, and oh, it's just been so sweet. And it says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And I appreciate my brother Sean. He has a heart for homeless people and things like that. And I drive downtown every day on the way to work and the way home. And all those homeless people used to really bother me. It just bothered me to see them there. And brother Sean comes in and he starts praying for them. And it changed my attitude. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of things they do, but I know their souls. I know that Jesus died for them. And I don't need to look down on them, but to look up to Jesus for them. And then especially the saints. And I don't know how many of those people might be saved, but we especially need to not look down on the saints. We need to lift them up, to esteem them as better than us. And I was thinking, I did a little thing on the pearl of great price at the last men's dinner. And I'm not going to go into that a lot, but I thought, you know, that oyster don't look like much on the outside. Just like some of them homeless people, just like me, I'm sure. But that pearl of great price can be hidden within. And we never know what person that we may take that gospel to is going to become that pearl of great price. I wanted to look at another anointing real quick. Again, I almost turned this into two studies, but I thought I just had to mention this in John 12:3. I think you all know where I'm going. And this was the supper at Bethany, and 6 days before the Passover. You know, Jesus was facing the cross here. And he went to see his friends. Don't you, when you're in trial and hurting, suffering, isn't it nice to be around friends and loved ones and, you know, have people greet you? And, you know, you know, bring you a meal or whatever. And so I'm just going to read the one verse, verse 3. It says, "Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Now, I believe from the other two accounts, they said she poured the oil on his head. And I'd really believe, because she anointed him for his burial, I believe that she poured it on his head. And it was the same thing. It just flowed down. But the thing I wanted to bring out is how it filled the house. You know, the whole house was filled with the odor of that ointment. Everyone that was there was affected by it. Some in a negative way. There was Judas, the ones that criticized her. But that's the way love is. And, you know, just like Sunday, that whole downstairs was full of love. And the odor, the sweet odor. And, oh, man, I didn't want it to end. Except that I ate too much. And, you know, like I said, Jesus, you know, he was a man. He was suffering. He knew what he was facing. I really believe he needed to be around the people that he loved and that he knew loved him. And you know Mary and Martha loved him, and Mary especially, and Lazarus. But, you know, that's the way we need to be. We need to be a comfort, anoint our brethren, you know, if they need it. I appreciate Judy DeMont. Several times I've walked back there, and she's back there praying with somebody. And, you know, it's just so sweet that, you know, she loves them enough. She says, "Well, you know, let's pray." And Brother Ray Quintana, he's the same way. You know, he doesn't stop and say, "I'm going to wait for him to ask." Let's pray. And it is a special anointing. Okay, I think I'm getting my pages mixed up. But that's okay. So, all right. Anyway, you know, the pastor's always telling us, you know, that Paul says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, the much the more, as you see that day approaching. And we need each other at this time. I so appreciate when Brother Ken comes in, and or if I go to visit him or something, and you know, I walk away like, oh, you know, I thought I was going to encourage him, and I'm walking out just in awe, you know, of the worship and the praise and the joy in his heart and the thing he's going through. And, you know, and I know he appreciates us, but I appreciate him so much more. And, you know, I'm just so thankful. But we need each other at this time. It's not a time to be forsaken. Then we'll go to the third verse. "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore." I read up on Hermon, and I guess it has snow pretty much year-round up there. It gets so much snow, and it gets down in the valleys, and I have some mountain property like that. There's a little, it's called Horseshoe Mountain, and when it snows, it fills up this bowl in there, and the snow, when we get a lot of snow, that creek up there on my property runs year-round. If we don't get a lot of snow, the creek dries up. But the dew comes down too, and every morning in the summer you get up and that ground is just covered with dew. And I've even seen it one 4th of July morning. I got up and I had to scrape frost off of my windshield. The dew was thick, but it was so cold it just froze on everything. And I believe that's what Hermon is like. That cold air comes down and just blows that dew down onto Mount Zion, the parched place. And it brings fruit and refreshing and cools it off. And it's the same way in our lives, you know. The love of the saints and the gathering together, it's refreshing and it brings fruit. And we can be in a parched place sometimes. I want to return to James 1:12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And if you love the Lord, you love the brethren. But what more blessing, you know, than these crowns that Ray was talking about? And he said he appointed and he commanded the blessing, but that word commanded means he appointed. And it was at that parched place where he appointed that blessing, even life evermore, the crown of life. And I thought in James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And of course, we know in Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, which I won't go over all of it, but the first is love. And the rest of the fruit, those attributes come out of love. You know, the joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. I just want to leave you with this thought. We have the oil that ran down and went down to the skirts of Aaron's garments. We have the dew that descended, and every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down. And yet this is a song of ascents. And if you want God's best, get low. I hope it's been a blessing. I didn't see Ty looking at his watch, so I don't think I went too long. One of these days I might surprise you, but praise the Lord. Yvonne, would you dismiss us?